Sports Radio 1310. KTCK Dallas Fort Worth. Sports Radio 1310. The ticket.
Carolina and New England made it to the Super Bowl, and our guys will be there with live coverage. Houston, we have a problem. All day, every day, beginning Monday. Brought to you by Majestic Liquors, Bobcat, and Sports Radio 1310. The ticket.
Sports Radio 1310. The ticket.
12:36. Here on Sports Radio 1310. The ticket. You're listening to the Hard Line. We're going 11-2 today, just as we did back in the old days. And joining us out here at the Hard Rock for the Ticket's 10th birthday get-together is another of our longtime baseball buddies, the great Rafael Palmeiro.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Good. The former Ranger great and now a member of the Baltimore Orioles.
That's correct.
How you feel about that? You happy with that?
I'm happy with it. Yeah, I've done it before, so...
Right. It's not like you're going into an unfamiliar situation here.
Exactly. You know, going into it, I thought if it didn't work out here in Texas, the ideal situation for me was to go back to Baltimore, and it worked out.
I can't believe they had enough money to sign you. They've signed every free agent on the market.
And they tried to sign Vladimir also.
Yeah. He just didn't want to go there. Why wouldn't he want to go to the American League?
You know, I don't know.
That was his excuse, and then he ended up signing with Anaheim. That made no sense.
I'm not sure. I mean, he would have loved Baltimore. It's a great baseball town, and it's a good place to hit. I think he would have put up some big numbers there.
Well, I mean, they are doing some things in this offseason. They've already had a pretty nice offseason with or without him, and there still may be more.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, Pudge is still out there.
Yeah.
Anything shaking on that front that you might know of?
I talked with Pudge about 2 weeks ago, and he said that he still was open to the idea, but I'm not sure what's going on. I guess I heard that Florida was after him again, and that, you know how that works. He has to wait till May, but it would be nice to have Pudge on our team in Baltimore. I mean, that would be great for us to be teammates again.
He's not really seriously considered Detroit, is he?
I guess he is.
Really? I mean, you think so?
Well, the kind of offer that he's got on the table is a lot better than everything else, as far as I know.
So... Well, we'll see what happens with all that, but what we need to get into with Rafael, we have a very long history with him, going all the way back to his first swim through the Rangers. Now, really, you were his little buddy before anybody else, Greg.
Yes.
And I don't know why. I just liked him because he was always, anytime we'd go in the locker room, this goes back to the old Arlington Stadium days, he always had time, and he always had time for a peon like me, always. I mean, anytime you'd go to him, you ask him a question, you always got an answer, always.
Well, and, you know, I always made time for everyone, really, in the clubhouse. Regardless of what type of game we had, I thought it was part of my duty to sit down and explain myself regarding that night's game.
I'll tell you what, I've got one funny story to tell, and Ron, you were in there that night. You guys had a bad loss, and I was late coming in there. And you weren't talking to anybody. You weren't talking. And you hit a home run that night. But you weren't talking to anybody. You remember this, Ryan?
Yes, I do.
And
as a matter of fact, this is where I first began to see the real value of Grego here, too.
And you told everybody very, very politely that, you know what, I'm not talking tonight, guys. I'm not talking. So I got in there late, and, you know, we're over there talking, wondering who we were going to talk to. And Ryan told me, said, well,
see, we didn't know the not-talking edict had been thrown down.
Yeah. And so, well, no, you were the one that told me because I was late getting
in.
Oh, us? Yeah. And you told me, you said, well, Rafi's not talking tonight. And so very, very cocky, I said, well, he'll talk to me, I guarantee you. He'll talk to me. And you go, no, you know, he's not real happy and he's not going to. I said, well, let me go see. So I went over there. Rafi, you got a second? Yeah, what do you need? And just sat down there.
Oh, yeah.
And just gave me everything that I wanted. And here are the beat reporters over here. And you gave them nothing. You gave me everything that I wanted. And that was great. And after that, I said, man, what a good guy.
And they're all standing around looking like, well, why is he talking to him?
Right. I mean, who are you?
Yeah. Why?
He won't talk to us, but he's talking.
Why'd I do that?
To this day, I have no idea. But you just did.
I don't remember that.
Well, that... That illustrated to me one of the first examples of the real value of Grego. If he could crack that not talking facade with Rafael, he could do it with just about
anybody. But then again, there were other people in there that talked to everybody but wouldn't talk to me, like Steve Buschel.
Really?
True. Yeah, he just didn't like me. I don't know why. I guess he didn't like my hard-hitting questions that I ask all the time.
He was a pretty nice guy, pretty good guy.
Yeah, he just didn't like us for some reason.
Well, now, the coming of the little ticket pretty much coincided with you getting out of here, right? I mean, you got out of here the first time in
94.
94 was your last year. So
first year of the ballpark.
Right, first year of the ballpark. So we'd been on the air about a year when you got out of here. What are your early recollections of the little ticket, or do you have any?
I don't remember very much. I know that it was, you know, like you guys are doing now, just all sports all the time. And I missed a lot of it because I moved to Baltimore and I was gone pretty much 8 months out of the year. But I come back and listen to you guys during the off season. You know, every morning I wake up to the ticket. I mean, my wife has a little radio that she carries with her, and she listens to you know, Bob and Dan and the guys in the morning when I'm sleeping still. But yeah, we listen to you guys all the time.
Now, here's another guy, Grego, who, even though he's been in and out of here over the course of his career, you've always maintained a residence here ever since you got here, right?
That's correct.
And this is pretty much where you plan to come back to when it's all over with, right?
That's correct. This is the best place in the country to live and raise kids, so this is where I want to be. This is where I want to come back and retire to and live happily ever after, I guess.
A lot of people, you know, especially athletes that come through here, especially if they come from a northern environment, you know, they like it here. But you're a guy that grew up in Miami. Why Dallas over Miami? Because Miami's home and you still have a lot of relatives there.
Yeah, but I left Miami very young. I was 17 years old and I went up to college to Mississippi State. And I just never went back. You know, during the summertime, I played summer ball during college. Then I signed after my junior year, and I was playing ball during the summertime, so I never went back. You know, started up with the Cubs, and I got traded to Texas, and we decided that we were going to give it a try. And I had the opportunity to stay here for 5 years, my first 5 years. We started building a home, and, you know, here we are still.
Does your family ever try to get you to move back to Miami? The Miami area?
No, not really. You know, they know that we like it here. We know that we've established ourselves here now, and we've got a lot of friends. The kids are very grounded.
Yeah, especially now, because you may not be able to now, because, I mean, no. Your kids are getting into junior high.
Right. Well, Patrick's going to be in high school next year. He's going to be in the ninth grade, and Preston is going to go into the fourth grade, so it's a little bit harder now to move around like we did before.
Ralphie, you are getting so old. You've got a kid in high school.
That's okay.
You are getting so old, man.
That's okay. Let's keep telling ourselves that, man. That's okay.
You know what?
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's how you feel, I guess. I mean, I may look old, but I feel great.
Well, you do look old, man.
No, you don't. You look great, Ralphie. Yeah. You look great. Still a very handsome man.
I should have shaved, and I should have gotten a haircut.
So what are you going to do when you go to Baltimore? Are you taking the whole crew with you, or how will that work?
Not in the beginning. They'll come up in May when school's out. I'm sure they'll come up for long weekends and fly up for some of the weekend series. But, no, it's a little bit harder now. They can't really leave school, especially Patrick, being in the eighth grade. But it'll work out. We made it work out before. It's going to work out again.
So let me ask you a very tough question, because I do ask a tough question.
I'm sure
you do. When you get up there to Baltimore, and you're there all by yourself, and your family's back here, who are you going to miss the most? Your lovely wife or your dogs?
My wife, probably.
Okay.
My kids.
All right, she's listening, obviously. She's listening.
No, I'm going to miss everything, really. You know, it's tough being alone up there. You know, I go to the ballpark a lot earlier than I would if I were here, and I stay around a lot later. I'd probably lift weights and just hang out in the clubhouse longer than I would normally, but you know, I'll make it happen.
So do we have a problem up there? Because I was looking at the Baltimore roster. Jay Gibbons has number 25.
He had number 25.
Oh, did you?
No, he's offered it. He's already given it up.
Yeah, come on now.
No,
he offered it. He offered it to you. You didn't have to say anything.
Well, I haven't talked to him personally, but...
Or did they just give it to you?
No, the Orioles called me and said he's going to give it to me, so
You don't have to buy him like a case of beer or a Rolex watch or anything?
No, I'll buy him something nice, I'm sure. You know, he was nice enough to give it up.
We can give you some ticket merchandise to take him.
Can you give me a hat?
A ticket cap to take him there.
Give him a hat. No, he gave it up. He knows that it was important for me. I've always worn 25, except the my first year here in Texas.
You wore three.
Buddy Bell was number 25, and then he retired, and I was able to take that number. But, I like to wear 25.
Any significance behind that number, or
no,
is it just the number that you've always had?
It was given to me in Chicago when I first came up by Yosh Kawano, who was the clubhouse manager, and I've worn it since.
Did he ask you if you wanted it, what number you wanted?
No, I guess when you first come up to the big leagues, you don't. Not 15 years ago, anyway.
Oh, really?
You don't ask for a number; they just give you whatever.
Was that your college number?
No, I was number 6 in college.
That's a bad number.
6?
6 is a bad number. That's
yeah,
just a,
you don't
that's
need
just
an
a
even
bad
number, man.
That's just
you don't
a,
need an even number.
That's just a bad number.
It was pretty good for me in college.
Well, yeah, you're pretty decent in college.
Well, Raphael, good to see you out here today. You know that we wish you the best of luck in Baltimore. We look forward to seeing the Orioles when they come through. And I'll tell you what, that should be a pretty good club they're putting together.
Yeah, it should be. I think we're in a very tough division with the Red Sox and the Yankees and even the Blue Jays now. But, as long as we can go out there and play the game hard and try to build some momentum, you never know what can happen. You know, the Marlins did it last year. Of course, they've got some great pitching, but... hopefully we can come together and make a run at it.
I predict that you're going to win the Gold Glove next year. You know why? Because you got Tejada playing short, and he's never made a decent throw one. Everything he throws
gonna
is
going to make you look good.
Everything he's going to throw is going to be in the dirt and over your head and everything else. So all you got to do is dig it up, and you'll win the Gold Glove next year.
I'm working very hard right now on my defense. I know that I didn't really play a lot of first base over the last couple of years. But, I take a lot of pride in playing defense, and I'm working very hard right now. I know that I'm going to have to play every day. That's what they wanted me to do. So I welcome that, and I feel like I'm up for the challenge.
Now, how many home runs do you have now?
Oh, come on. Don't ask me that.
You know how many you've got.
I know what I've got.
528?
That's right.
All right. You get 600 home runs, 3,000 hits, 2,000 RBI. You know how many guys in baseball history have done that?
A handful, I guess. Two or three.
No? Try one.
Who's that? Hank Aaron?
Hank Aaron. That's it. So Rafael Palmeiro and Hank Aaron.
Well, don't say it that way because I don't know that I'll be long up there. But, if I play long enough, I guess I'll get there.
Come on, how long do you really think you can play? I mean, seriously. Do you think you can play another 3 years?
I think so. No, I know so. Yeah. I really
all
do.
Right. Make it happen then.
I will.
Get those 2,000 RBIs, that's 600 home runs and 3,000 hits, man.
Well, it's part of the plan.
All right.
I still want to get back to the playoffs where I thought I would be.
All right. Well, maybe the Orioles can make that happen. Good to see you out here today, Raphael.
Thanks.
We appreciate
thank
you dropping
you coming
by.
Thanks for having
me here. I appreciate it.
The great Raphael Palmeiro joining us out here at the Hard Rock today. It is 12:48 here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. And... All right, coming up next, we will visit with one of the founders, probably the least known founder of The Ticket, next here on The Ticket.